To talk about today is a chodosh in Orech Chaim, right after the laws of Pesach. It's one seif, a teeny little seif. Ois Yud are the laws of chodosh. Can you imagine a teeny little seif? Hilchas Pesach is almost a whole volume, right? 90% of the volume is not even nogei halacha lemaisa. All these things about kashrus, kashrin kalim, alright, a lot of these things, the average person does not come into contact with many, with a good chunk of chelike. When it comes to chadash, something which is a major, major issue in what we're going to eat for the entire year, it's one teeny little simon. In our list, in our chaim, they also.
The observance of chadash is relatively recent.
Yes, that's what I want to go through. So I want to go through a couple of the issues of chadash. So let me read you what it says in Shulchan Aruch. I told you, I had it a little bit more organized, just a bit more organized in the sefer I wanted to present for you, but I forgot, so I just jotted down from memory a few short things. Okay, so let me just read a little bit what it says in the Mishnah Brura, and we'll use it as a springboard to talk about some of these things. Number one, it says here in Shulchan Aruch, there's no Ramah. There's no Ramah on this topic in Orech Chaim. The Ramah is mentioned in Yoredeah, but in Orech Chaim, all it says in the Mechaber, Asur lechol chodosh af bizman hazeh. One is not allowed to eat chodosh bizman hazeh. Bein lechem, bein koli, bein karmel. Now there are three different types of chodosh, three different types of grain. And this is a very big topic of discussion. One is called bread, lechem. One is kali. What is kali? Oh, these things, the next two terms are very controversial. What exactly they mean? Kali simply means kernels of grain, of wheat that have been
roasted, parched.
And you chew them. It was a delicacy. Same way we eat chocolate, candies. In ancient times, before they had candies, so what? That was a nash. O nuts. There were no nuts. And you go to O nuts. They only sold one thing: kernels of wheat that were toasted. Okay, that's called kali. Caramel. What's caramel? Caramel is kernels of wheat that have not been roasted and have not been pulverized, but have been just pressed. They've been, according to what it says, they just take your finger and you rub it. By rubbing it, you soften it, and it brings out the flavor of the kernel of wheat. So there are three different prohibitions. The Torah says anything that has grown during the winter, or for that matter, anything that has grown since last year Pesach, any wheat that has taken root in the ground since last year Pesach, the second day of Pesach, is osur to eat in three forms. Whether you pulverize the kernel of wheat and you make it into a flour, and you make a bread, you make a lechem, or you take the raw kernel and you toast it and you chew it as a snack, or you take the raw kernel and you soften it by rubbing it with your fingers and eating it, what's called caramel, it is osur. It is an iser derais, a loisase of eating something that has, you have not yet offered the omer on the first day, the second day of Pesach. Also, lechol chodosh af bizman hazeh. One may be misled to believe that this halach only applies bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim, when we have an opportunity to bring the carbon omer to the matter of the chodosh. And being that bizman hazeh, we no longer have the omer, so bizman hazeh, you would be think that you don't, the prohibition does not apply. It's not so. The mechaber says it's aser, and this prohibition applies to bread, bein lechem, bein kali, bein karmel. When does the prohibition come to an end? Ad tchilas lel yud Benisan, the first day, the second day, Chol Hamoed. The second day, Chol Hamoed, is Yud Ches Nisan, Chutz Liaretz, because the first 2 days are Sfeik Yom, the first 2 days we assume on the 15th, and then the first day, Chol Hamoed, whereas a Suffolk, maybe it is the 16th. So we wait until, since we have Kvid Yach, we know the calendar, so we wait until the second day Chol Hamoed. Even the second day Chol Hamoed on the Alan calendar is really the 18th, and technically speaking we should really be permitted to eat on the first day Chol Hamoed. On the first day Chol Hamoed, we wait until the second day Chol Hamoed, and then you only have to wait until Yud Zayin. Uviarit says beferish, Uviarit is Shol, Atchilas Lel Yud Zayin Binis. Now notice, he's the Mechaber Mechaber is talking about Chutz Li'aretz. The fact that he's talking about waiting until Yud Ches, the Mechaber obviously holds that Chodosh is Aser Bizman Hazeh Afilu in Chutz Li'aretz, where we observe Sveika Diyomer. Okay, there's no and, if, or buts. That's what it says here in the Mechaber. Now let me read you a little bit of the Mishnah Berurah and the Ber Halacha. Okay, the Mishnah, we're going to jump out of the Mishnah Berurah, and the Mishnah Berurah says, very nice, but you should look at what the Ramah says in Yoredeya. Okay, this is Orachaim. The Ramah says that Bizman Hazeh we can be Mekel because of Sveik Sveika. What's the Sveik Sveika? Now this, what the Ramah says in his time, does not necessarily apply Bizman Hazeh, where everything can be verified very easily, relatively easily. Everything is coded, and with and as time and technology has progressed, you can probably trace exactly which farm, exactly where the wheat has been grown, and exactly when it was harvested in very great detail. But originally there was such a heter called the Sveik Sveika. Chad number one, Shem Hatua Hi Mishana Sha'avra. First of all, when you buy a product in the bakery, who says that this wheat is a Suffolk? Maybe really this wheat was fairly common, that the wheat was a spring crop. Now someone explain this to me. You'll help me if I'm making a mistake. In America there are two crops. All the American grain. There is what they call the spring crop and the winter crop. Grain that grows in the spring has a different taste, different products. You cannot the summer and winter. You cannot make a product that you would make from winter wheat to summer wheat. Pastas and cakes and breads. They just doesn't go. I don't know what that means exactly. That doesn't ferment. There's no yeast. Does obviously it works. It just has a different taste. The taste that is so inferior to the other type of wheat. It's not worth it for the business world, for the industry to produce products with the different types of wheats that don't fit. So it turns out that by and large, almost all of the products. Let's say the Paspalta products, Cheerios, Oreo, the Oreo cookies, all the products, there's almost never a shayla on these products of Chodosh. Because these products can only be manufactured from the crop, what's called the summer crop. Now the summer crop means it already was in the ground. What we call summer, I think, means that it was harvested in the summer, but it was already in the ground, taking root more than a third of its full growth by the time Pesach has passed. Almost all the grain that's used for most of the Mizonos products in America, especially among the big food companies, are only made from a grain that was the grain was attached to the attached to the ground when Pesach, during the time of Pesach. So when Pesach passed, the grain was rooted in the ground. It was more than a third of its maturity, and therefore the Pesach was matter this grain, and there's no issue of Chodosh whatsoever. The other crop of grain that grows in the winter and makes its way to the market is used for certain types of products which we don't come in contact with. What are those products? Different types of products. Whatever it may be. So there's not. But going back to the time of the Mishnah Berurah, that was not necessarily the case. They mixed and matched. So every time you have in your possession product that comes from grain, there's a real legitimate suffix. Did this come from the summer crop, which is not problematic, which means that it's old, it's already yashan, or is it from the new crop, which is chadash? So therefore, that's suffix number one. And suffix number two, the Mishnah Berurah says, suffix number two, the Ramah says, v'yimtim salay mishana zo, dilma nishrusha koidem lo'aymer, even if it's from this year, it still was planted, it was still in the ground, it was in the ground already at the time, it was one third its maturity at the time when Pesach passed. And it goes on to explain this concept of Sveik Sveika. Then the Mishnah elaborates that it's not always true because technology, they talk about, they bring on the railroad in different countries. All right. But then at the end, he says something very much more relevant. And here's what he says. When we call Malcolm, even though this fake of the Ramah is not so simple, times have changed. Umikol makoim roiv ha'olam ein nisharin klal be'isur chadash. Most of the world is not concerned with this matter. The yesh shalimdu aleihem zuchus, and the merit for these people is lefi shohu davar kashal yozoher b'zeh. It's very difficult. You have such a heter. It's extremely difficult to be nizer, and therefore we makel ulchein. Therefore, samechim b'bnei hadchakus of difficulty al miktsas harishainim shesayrim shechadash b'chutz liaretz ein ela medivrei sayrim. Everyone agrees, without exception, that chodosh outside of Eretz Yisrael is asur midrabanan, at least asur midrabanan, but it was only enacted in certain locations that are near Eretz Yisrael. Shegazu mishum Eretz Yisrael, v'loigazu ela b'mekaymos hasmuchim li'Eretz Yisrael, kagoyin Mitzrayim u'bavel. So if you go to Iraq and Iran, you have to be nizer. Iraq. You must be nizer. An amazing thing, if you go visit Iraq, you must be nizer in Chodesh. Because everyone agrees, and you go to Egypt. If you go to Egypt, you also must be nizer in Chodesh, because everyone agrees that Chodesh is also midrabanan. But the heter is this, the Chazal said it's also midrabanan, it's a gzerim shem Eretz Yisrael, and the only goyzer in lands that were near Eretz Yisrael, where there can potentially be a mixing of the two, and that is Mitzrayim and Babel.
You have to be afraid of it. Here the grain silos are at the point where they publish.
Right. So we don't have the stake anymore.
Right.
So we don't have the stake anymore. It's a lot easier. Go on the airplane. So now you go to the whole world is the global village. We're called the global village. We're all living in Eretz Yisrael today. Today you go online, you know what's going on in the entire world. So this is in the debate. This is the debate. Does halacha change due to technology? So we're pretty much makel. I mean, most of the oilam today still is not nizer and chadash. I know all the bakeries today, they put up signs kemach yashan and so on. That's business purposes. The OU, everything is filtered. Most people in their homes do not have filters in their home, but yet today you couldn't get a hashkacha that doesn't filter their water. Why? Because for business purposes,
even in the OU, Ravelsky does not hold the filter.
And in Tarvadas, Ravelsky is the Rashiv of Tarvadas. And in Tarvadas, I can tell you as a fact, all the water fountains have filters. And the kitchen has made, they have a filter. Everything is filtered. And this is right. But Ravelsky, he's the postik of the OU, and he's the Rashiv of Tarvadas. So why do they have filters? So why is there a filter? I don't know why there's a filter. Whatever, they have a filter. The yesh limdu aleihem. Rabelski actually holds that you should be dafka. At one point, he holds that you should not have a filter. Chamira sakanta. Chamira is the pash of a boyer on Shabbos, and he said that. So he says you're not even shown to him that these cheap people again. They all know about these cheap filters, and some of the metal of these cheap filters they put around their sinks. It falls out, goes into the water, and these little pieces of metal can go right to your stomach. Chamira sakanta yosa mesura. You're going to put in a cheap piece of garbage, it'll disintegrate, and the metal will be in your stomach. The bugs in your stomach is only an isser. Metal in your stomach is a sakana. So better don't play around. You don't need a filter. There's no need for a filter. Alpi halacha, these things, let's discuss this. There's no need for it. Don't get involved in filters. Okay, that was at one. I don't know if he changed his mind since then. I don't know, but that's what I remember hearing years ago. Okay, so this is the heter. The heter is, okay, so that's pretty much what he says. The only concern is that, I don't know if they have such thing, are there grains today produced from Jewish farms owned by Jews?
Yes.
Is there such a thing today? Well, it's owned by companies. There are people that have stocks. Stocks in these corporations, which makes it owned by Jews, so then there could indeed be an issue in Chutz Liaretz. So because the Yeshua is one thing. The Yesh Limdu Zalim Schush Sarim Shakhadash Ernaik Elabitwa Shalari Tishola of Lobish Alakum, it's not of an Anju, Lafizet of not of an Anju. So he basically comes over here with two leniencies. The two leniencies that we lie in this manazeh is that there are many Rishonim that hold that Chodosh is only Osir in Eretz Yisrael. And even though even those Rishonim agree that it's Osir Midrabanan and Chutz Liaretz, it's only Osir in certain locations, not Osir over the entire world. Number two, a second leniency, is that it's only Osir from land, grain that's owned by a Jew. Grain that has been produced on a field of a non-Jew, there is no requirement of being of Chadash. So since in Chutz Liaretz most grains come from lands owned by non-Jews, there is no problem. Mishnah Berurah says it's not so silly because it's not so. There are definitely lands that are owned by Jews which produce grain and it's sold in the open market. So then that heter goes away. Only coming to rely upon the Rishonim hold that it only applies in Eretz Yisrael and in limited areas of the Chutz Liaretz and in places like Poland and Russia and the United States and England or the entire Europe for that matter, that's not part of the original Gzeir of Eretz Yisrael and it is Mutter. Okay, that's what he says. To make a long story short, the Mishnah Berurah goes on and on, both here in this Mishnah Berurah and in the Lomber Halacha, and he very strongly, it's very clear from his words, that he holds that it's a very great leniency, and a person should do his utmost to be machmir. That is the Mishnah Berurah's opinion. Until recent times, even today, people are not machmir on this. People, today we're living in a world of the Mishnah Berurah. Years of the Mishnah Berurah is picking up, we mentioned this many, many times, has picking up a lot of steam. People mainly focused on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah was not studied nearly as much as it was studied years ago. It's something which now has become extremely popular, especially with Dirshu. Now it's become even more popular than Daf Yomi almost, to go learn the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah for the day, 5 days a week, a 7-year cycle with exams and calendars and advertisements and who knows what else is going on. It's become extremely popular in Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah has convinced in this generation people to follow what he says, that it's a very great leniency to be samech on Chadash as Mutter. And that's why today we do find, I'm not telling you, I'm Nizrin Chadash at all. But we do find today, you can't deny the fact that almost every single bakery today is under a lot of pressure that it should be Yashan, Kemach Yashan, for business purposes.
Can they even buy Kemach?
What? Yes, they can. It seems they can. It seems at the end of the year, it seems that the last few months of the year is a problem. They have to be key. They do have to be careful. Especially also with food technology. This thing, that's the winter crop and the summer crop, and you can't mix and match. With food technology, there's a lot of new types of complicated products that they're making, and they're adding flour into different types of products. They're able to do it with fresh flour. So it is today definitely an issue, at least what I've read. Okay, so he goes on, and then he goes on to say, let me read a very interesting part of the Bir Halacha. He says here something that should be kol makom. In the Bir Halacha, he says the reason why people have given up on this halacha is because. I am a Mishnah Berurah. Masha Kasafti, the Inbi Yodena Limchas Biatam Akim. We can't protest against those that are lenient. Kain Kasu Kama Achroinim with Sidu Limsoy Tam Lemenik Ha'ilam. Chamosha Kasafti, the Mishnah Berurah, Mikol Mokoy, Masha Yedua. Shakama Vakam and Hanazar Mishash Eshu called who Bishara Yisur, Mikilam Gam came with Zeh. He says, I don't understand Mishnah Berurah. I see people that are Nizar, extremely machner in all other matters of halacha. To the nth degree. And yet when it comes to Chodesh, what's that? They have no clue. The Sibas Hadavar, you see, the Mishnah Berurah says the reason why people are live in two worlds when it comes to everything else, they're extremely mach. When it comes to Chodesh, they don't even know what it is. If you want to be machmir, you got to go all the way. And that means you basically can't eat or drink anything. Talking about his time. Mishmarim. From, I don't know what mishmarim is. Mishmarim from sediment, the sheikhar, beer, the yayin sraf, whiskey, v'chein deplidas kelim. If chadash is also, if you make a mistake, you got to kash your kelim. Think about it. I've baked a dish, a cake with flour. That's chadash. So my kelim are treif. Before I bake a cake of kelim with the yashan, I have to go and kash my kelim. I got to kash the kelim. So people say it's impossible. There's no way in the world, since the chadash has penetrated every area of our food consumption, whether it's whiskey, whether it's beer, whether it's cakes and breads, there's no way I can be masa. So once already I can't be do it 100%, I'm not going to do it at all. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's a mistake. Who dover kashal zobi mis elu al kain semech kolech latzmal minich oilam zolkel gami avol. The Mishnah Berurah says la'nias taiti ein nachon hadover. Just because he can't be machmir 100% doesn't mean you should give up. When it comes to bread, be machmir. When it comes to beer, when it comes to whiskey, so be makel. You know, that's not all or nothing. This is his approach, a very interesting approach in life and halach as well. Just because you can't have it all doesn't mean you shouldn't have a little bit. He says flour in his time was very easy. It's very easy to be, when you bake a cake, make challah, it's very easy to verify that the flour is yashin and not chadash. And he brings over here and he tells the two crabs, Mishamati, Meyoidim, Shekemach, Michidim, Hatayvim, Hanizarim, it's very easy. All the good, high quality grain is anyway yashan. The beer is also very easy. He goes on to go over here is that just because there are certain things that are difficult does not mean that a person should go to the extreme and be makel. And as far as platas kalim, you don't have to be machmir. Just because when it comes to non kosher meat, when it comes to basta b'cholav yimachmir to kashi kalim, when it comes to chadash, you don't have to be machmir. So you wait 24 hours. You bake a cake with flour that's chadash, and now you have flour that's you want to make challah. So you don't just wait 24 hours. You don't have to go through the effort of kashrut mikalim. It's okay. You can be makel. It's not all or nothing. So this is his main yesod. Now let's just jump to a couple of interesting ideas. Some ask the question as follows. Let's say indeed you have a person, some lumnish things. Let's say indeed you have a person that indeed is machmir on chodesh. He's makbit. He'll only eat kem achyashan. And then he finds out that there's a taruvis, there's a mixture. There's a mixture that someone by mistake mixed two flours. It's 80% kemach yashon and 20% kemach chadash. Do we apply the rules of bittul? So the answer is absolutely. L'chol adeis is bittul. The 20% that's kemach chadash is bittul in the 80% that's kemach yashon. Question is why? Why is it bittul? Why don't we apply the principle of davar sheyesh loy matirin? This is a very beautiful lama shachidish. This is idea. Why don't we apply the rule of davar sheyesh loy matirin is not bottle? Anything that will become mutter at a later point in time is not mutter. For example, what? The flour won't become stale. It won't become ruined. You let the flour. You have a mixture of flour and the flour. If a piece of bread, it's going to become stale. You're right. It's going to become stale. But let's say you have flour. So it's davar sheyesh loy. Put it aside until after Pesach, and then will become mutter. What's the problem? Why do we apply the rules of bittul when we have a typical davar sheyesh loy? It's not bottle. For example, a muksa, an egg that was noilad on yomtiv is muksa. Let's say that egg gets mixed up with other eggs. It's not bottle. Why is it not bottle? Because tomorrow the egg will be mutter. Anything that is muksa will become mutter tomorrow. So we have rule of davar sheyesh loy matin is not bottle. So the answer is a fascinating answer and opens up a whole new certain difference between chadash bezman hazeh and chadash bezman shabes hamikdash hayakayim. Bezman shabes hamikdash hayakayim. When did chadash become mutter? After they were makriv of the carbon oimer. It was the first day Pesach, early in the morning. They brought a mincha offering from the new flour, from the second day Pesach, from the new flour, and the moment they brought the mincha, which could be very early in the morning, everyone is immediately allowed to prepare food from the new crop. The crop was cut the night before and it was offered in the morning. Bezman hazeh, we don't have a beis hamikdash, we don't bring the carbon, so we have no choice but to wait until the day is over. We have to wait the entire day, and the first time it's mutter to eat chadash is the following morning on the third day of Pesach, which for us, Chutz-Yaretz, is the fourth day of Pesach, which is the 18th day. Therefore, Bezman shebeis hamikdash hayakayam, the Omer was a matir. During the day itself, in the morning it was Aser. When you bring the Omer is something which is matir. You do something, you bring a carbon, and your actions bring about a heter. But Bezman Hazeh, There is no Omer. So it's just a matter of the clock. You wait until the next day. The next day, the reason why it's mutter is not because you have a matter. It's because the iser no longer applies. By muksa, you don't have a solution. Muksa, by nature, becomes a davar sheyesh lo batil because of the day. There is no other matter. There is nothing else that would have made it permitted. I hear your question, but since by the Omer, the Torah gave you a solution, the Torah put upon you a prohibition, and the Torah gave you a matir. So when you have a matir, then you apply the rule of Dover Shiesh Loi Matin Afilay Bottle. But Bizman Hazel, we don't have the matir. It's just a matter of running down the clock. It doesn't fit in this category of Dover Shiesh Loi Matirin, and that's why we could apply the rules of Bittul regardless of the fact that it will become mutter on the next day. Okay, that's one interesting Chiddush Halacha. Okay, now here's another Chiddush Halacha. What happens if you have flour from Chutz Li'aretz and you bring that flour into Eretz Yisrael and you bake a cake? Does it become also Midin Chadash? So some want to suggest, being that in the Torah there are three separate laven, Lechem, Koli, the caramel. Is the din in the where it grew, or is the Isra Chadash on the product? Seemingly the prohibition is not in the grain itself. The prohibition is in the product. The lechem, the koli, the caramel. If you make a bread from grain that grew chutz li'aretz in America, grain that grew in America. So let's follow the Mandiyama that says that there's no Isur Chodosh in the lands that are distant from Eretz Yisrael, and it was owned by a non-Jew. So you take that grain, you purchase that grain, you bring it to Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael you bake a loaf of bread. So there is a position, and this is a very big debate among the poskim. Some are of the opinion that it becomes Osir, Chadash becomes Osir, because this has been converted into Lechem by a Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. Even though, what?
Several things by Chalot.
By challah does not where the challah in chutz is midrabanan,
and you bring it
to Eretz Yisrael.
I think there's
some shal as well, because then you're making it into a dough. That's a very fascinating thing, that the making of the lechem changes the status of the grain. That would be an afkamina that if they import, which they do, if you import flour from chutz li'aretz into Eretz Yisrael, and the flour they're importing is chodosh, in Eretz Yisrael everything is yashan. They're very into this. All Eretz took is deraisa there, so all the kash they told deraisa. There's no way around it. It's Eretz Yisrael. It's a davar pashut ad ma'od. There's no such thing as kemach yoshan. The only problem is that due to technology.
No, you mean no such thing as kemach chodosh.
Kemach chodosh. Everything is kemach yoshan. But due to technology, they are importing now different quality flours from all over the world, which are ideal for certain types of products. And some of these flours are chadash, and you'd right away want to say, okay, very good, it's chadash, but it came from chutz li'aretz, it came from Europe, it came from America, it came from Australia. Certain types of grains have certain types of qualities, so we're not makbid. This cash organization will tell you, listen, we're only makbid in Eretz Yisrael, we have chadash, but in chutz li'aretz, we're going to follow the policy of the OU. Is the OU makbid on? I don't think the OU is makbid. It can't be the OU is makbid on chadash. So here we're bringing in grain from Chutz Li'aretz, Eretz Yisrael, to produce a certain product, and this product is not so simple, because since here you're making the grain into a lechem, you're making the lechem, the koli, the caramel, lo yisachlu. Since the Torah puts the prohibition on the lechem, it's been fashioned to a lechem here in Eretz Yisrael, even though the grain was grown in Chutz Li'aretz, and even though the grain was grown in the land that belonged to a non-Jew, it doesn't matter. There are shittas in the achrenim that now it becomes Eretz Yisrael, it's owned by a Jew, the laws of Chodesh are triggered, and indeed it would be Osir. So that's a lomish thing. So let's just go to one other quick thing to finish off with, is that when Klal Yisrael, the famous question of Tosfos, when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, they came into Eretz Yisrael the first year, how were they able to eat matzah? The first year they came in, they entered the land in on Yud Nisan, And on Tesvav, they baked matzos. How could they bake matzos? Where did they get the flour from? Obviously, they got flour that grew. What? So that's Tosfos' answer. They got flour. It had to be the flour that they got that was not owned by the Jews. It was owned by non-Jews. And it grew already a third. It grew. The grain that grew should have been chadash. The grain that they harvested was new grain. It does not become mutter until the next year. So the simple answer is they got it from non-Jews.
It doesn't count Eretz Yisrael either because there's no kibush.
Okay, that's a possible approach. But let's assume that there would be the grain was growing in Eretz Yisrael. They come into Eretz Yisrael on Yud Nisan. They have grain. The grain is new grain from this year. It's chodesh. How can you make matzah? So Tosfos asks a fascinating kasha. What's the big deal? Asay is doichalos asay. Let them use yashan. And it's a lois asay, but matzah is a mitzvah asay. We have the principle asay. Okay, that's right. So they only need matzah for the seder. They only need matzah for the seder. How matzah we by the seder must be? We mark that it should be to yashan. Why don't we say asay is doicha lois asay? So the Yushalmi asked this question. The Yushalmi gives a very interesting answer, which is subject of a lot of discussion. A lot of Shabbos Hagodol Droshas are built upon this topic. This is a very good topic for the old Rabbanim from Europe. They gave Shabbos Hagodol Droshas on this topic. How are we able to eat matzah the first year? It's Chodosh. Yushalmi answers, the reason why you don't say Asay Doich Alois Asay is the Asay of matzah is weak. Why is it weak? It was given to us before Matan Torah. An assay that was given before Matan Torah is a weak assay. Doesn't have... What?
Like Shabbos.
Well, Shabbos was given again. Shabbos was given... Like Shabbos. Shabbos was given by Matan Torah. But it was given before Matan Torah. It wasn't repeated in the Aseret Hadibros.
Same thing with Mila. Mila is a Shlachas.
Mila...
No, but you still have
yeah, but you have matz also. You have matz in Parashas Re'eh again. I don't know the answer. It's a weak assay. So maybe it applies. This is what Yerushalmi says. It's an amazing idea because if you take this Yerushalmi to the nth degree, you want to start wondering why Bizman Hazel we so make it. The Mishnah Berurah is really, really shocked. He's shell-shocked, the Mishnah Berurah. Why is the Minig Olam to be so makel? And he struggles. He tells you, makel, and he presents the Bach, and he presents all these other reasons, the Yerdea. He's shocked. Well, when you add this idea, it's an interesting idea, is that the Yerushalmi says the Beferich, it's a weak assay. It doesn't have the full toikif of every other assay because it's before Matan Torah, and that's why you cannot even apply... I'm making a mistake. I'm saying nonsense. Matzah is a weak assay. Matzah is weak. So if a matzah, the assay of matzah is not going to be doich the loisah, chodesh is taka strong. Chodesh is strong. It's a strong lois assay. Okay. There's another answer which brings out the one to bring out the slumish point is the only time you say assay doich the loisah assay is in both assays are in the same ballpark.
But this proves something that you said. If they brought along, let's say, wheat from
chutz liaretz, yeah.
So then there's no Shiloh.
So then, well, that's the machlokes. The arotz asmuchos. If it's vadai.
The Shiloh becomes because they made the wheat.
No, but over there it's arotz asmuchos.
Asmuchos Mitzrayim. Okay,
all right, whatever. They're in the desert.
Okay, but let me give you this other lamish answer.
From Arizona.
From Virgin. Right, Arizona.
Okay, the lamish answer is. Is the only time you say aser doich alois aser is when they're in the same ballpark, meaning they're both an iser gavra. Or they're both an Isser Cheftza. Matzah is an Isser, is a mitzvah saseh of Gavra. It is to the person. You have a mitzvah to eat matzah. The same matzah after Pesach is over can go in the garbage. It's not important. The whole mitzvah is on Pesach, you have a mitzvah to eat the matzah. After Pesach is over, there's no mitzvah. Chodosh is a cheftz. There's no iser. There's no mitzvah. You bedafka. The Torah says, "I want you bedafka to go eat kemach yashar." You want a diet? Because good for you. Don't eat. Who's telling you to eat? Who's telling you to eat? If you happen to decide to eat bread, you got to understand this type of bread is a cheftz di isura. It's a beautiful lamed shavart. When do you say asay doicha loisasay is when you have a conflict, and both the asay and the loisasay are both in the same category of they're both gavra and they're both chavsa. But you can't mix and match. If one is a gavra and one is a chavsa, you can't apply the rule of asay being doicha loisasay. Who says this answer? One of the achrayim said this answer. I forgot. I'll tell you.
Says, go to Chatzin Sheva Menashe where Avar Yada and they were already living in the land.
But
there's
a machleg. Does it have? They didn't chadash in Avar Yarden. Is there a chadash in Avar Yarden? Wherever you live.
Well, so the people that. So what do we do over here? We eat yoshan over here. All there has become so prevalent.
So we explain. So well, that's not no. Also, Arutz says this. Everyone agrees that there's an isra chadash midrabbanan chutz the arutz and the arutz has hasmuchas.
Abilities of having.
Okay, right. The other solutions.
The arutz hasmuchas is because it could be from Eretz Yisrael.
Is that what it says?
That's what you said.
No, I don't know. It could be. It could be that there's a chizuk to Eretz Yisrael that goes around the arutz hasmuchas. The prohibition applies. But further, okay, we'll stop.